Welcome to Crosstalk. Today we're pleased to have with us Billy McKenzie Jr. Welcome, Billy. We're happy to have you.
Welcome, Billy.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome, Billy, and I have the hard one for you.
Are you ready for this?
Where did you get saved? And what brought you into the decision of accepting Jesus the Christ?
Well, the first answer was I was about 8 years old, 9 years old, somewhere around there, in Richmond, Virginia, of course, where we lived. And Dad had recently gotten saved, and I had, I guess, even at a young age, seen the difference in his life and got saved. And so that's kind of what got me saved to begin with. And I actually got, you know, baptized not long after. And the funny story with that was we went to a baptismal service at our church. It was the Country House Church. And
amen.
It was who we were going to. And they had a baptism service. So I watched the service, and it was, I don't know if it was one or two people got baptized, but I remember when they came out of the water that they were speaking in tongues right then and there.
Amen. You know? Praise God.
Yeah, so, but the problem was when I went home and they said, well, you want to, I said, I do want to get baptized, but I was so worried about coming out of the water and not speaking in tongues, you know?
Amen.
So even at a young age, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I didn't want to mess up. I didn't realize, you know, you could just come up out of the water, but I prayed and I prayed, Lord, and I was nervous. And as I come up out of the water, the Spirit hit me, and I just started speaking in tongues. And then years later, like, I've seen tons of services, and most people just come, you know, they just come up out of the water.
Amen.
But I guess if you really seek Him, He'll give you, you know, what you're asking for.
Amen.
But I, of course, as a young person, then I went on, and I really turned from the Lord and walked away from Him as a teenager, you know, thinking I was missing out and doing all the, you know, the things that you're missing out on. And so I did walk away from the Lord, you know, as I got a little bit older and the kids and you was running, you know, and doing, and I walked away from, but that's how I got saved originally. And that was about the story of it, that and the baptism.
Amen.
I like that you said you was worried that when you come up out of the water, you wouldn't speak in tongues. I was waiting for you to say that you was worried you would, because I think a lot of people is that way. I like that you said you was worried that you wouldn't.
I did, and being young, you just know what you see sometimes. And I just happened to be at the service where the person, as they came out of the water, you know, they were speaking in tongues, and I just figured that's what you were supposed to do. Of course, I didn't know how to speak in tongues. You don't, you know, so I prayed for it. And I was stressed on it and was worried about it. And as it had it, the Lord just hit me when I come out of the water, I guess.
That's good.
Amen.
You know the scripture that comes to mind for that, Billy, and I read it for years and didn't quote it properly, I guess, is, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give? And it says the Holy Spirit to them that ask. I always thought, like, give gifts. If you're good and you're evil, then how much more good is God? But it actually says the Holy Spirit to them that asked. And that's exactly what you did. You asked.
And that was exactly it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that come to my heart. So what if you can remember would be the first person or group you witnessed to or brought to the Lord?
Well, after that, there's the gap of, you know, from being 8 or 9 years old, serving the Lord for a few years, and becoming a teenager. We had a group come to our same church. Now, fast forward, maybe 15, 16, maybe somewhere in that range, and not serving the Lord, of course. And Mom and Dad's getting more into the ministry now. We're still in the church, but Dad's ministering at the jail and preaching in church there. And so a group of people came to the church youth ministry, and they traveled around and they actually did miming. I don't know if you've ever heard this story where, but they did miming and they used music and mimes and stuff like that to, you know,
remember
bring
that. Yeah.
Kind of unusual. Yeah. If you remember So anyways, these people are going to the Dominican Republic. So they wanted to know who in church would. I didn't want to go to the Dominican Republic. That's the last place I wanted to go.
Not Hawaii.
You know? Yes, if they was going to Hawaii. But mom and dad was like, yeah, he'll go, sign him up. You know, and I'm like, oh, but praise as it God. Turned out, me and young Benny Forrest, and then a boy that we knew forever, went with us. It was three of us that went. When we landed, they were standing in the airport with machine guns and checking through your bags and stuff. You know, it's a terrible, you know, I would have never sent my kids to the Dominican Republic. But, and I love when mom and dad will say, oh, don't send your kids. I said, do you remember you sent me to
a
third world country? Like a stranger, basically. But it was the Lord. And as it turned out, we went there. And of course, I had a terrible attitude, didn't want to be there, you know. Roasting hot. The food was, we came back sick as dogs because, you know, again, it was a third world country. But while we were there, to answer your question, we ministered. And about halfway through the trip, the Lord, you know, like I guess the Spirit fell back on me. And as we ministered, we were ministering to people. And you could see the people there. If you've ever been to like a third world country, even the basic needs, you know, they didn't have.
Amen.
And it, you know, and we was ministering to those people. And, but, you know, that was the first group of people we ministered to that I really remember ministering to. But when I came back, I was touched, rededicated my life, and it wasn't the next day. You know how when you, and this is for people out there, young people or whoever that either just gotten saved or you've struggled, now you've rededicated your life. When I got back from minister and I was turning over a new leaf, we was going to open up a youth ministry in our church and we was going to go out minister. But you want to know, the next day, my friends, the old friends and was waiting for me. And I gave in and I went with them and did everything like that you can imagine that you wasn't supposed to do. The difference was I felt, I hated it. Like I didn't enjoy my time. I had a bad conviction.
Amen.
The Lord convicted me. When I came back, I said, you know what? When they come back around and they want to go, I'm not doing it. You know, so if anybody has been there or done that, or maybe it's coming up on you, you know, you get, even if you fall, you know, you could say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I'm not doing that again. I did do that. You know, even as a teenager, I rededicated myself. I said, I'm not doing that no more. And then we started ministering through that, you know, my ministry. It was a music ministry. It wasn't just me. When we came back, a lot of you probably know Richard M.G. and David M.G.
Amen.
And
yeah.
Amen. Harry Harrison, which is going to be on your podcast.
Amen.
And John Scott and George, all of us, you know, me and my wife, my sisters, and the girl, all the girls. And we all went with mixed with the other people in church. And, you know, we went to a vision quest one time. Dad took us to out in the middle of the country where they were actually teenagers instead of going to prison, they sent them out to live for a year. They had to do work. They had to live in tents. And we got a chance to minister to them. And I remember we did a song called Don't Say Suicide. It was about suicide prevention and we mimed to it. And I remember afterwards the teenager come up and he said, his mom had died. His father had died. His sister was in a car wreck and had her legs cut off. He was from Boston.
Oh, God.
And he said, I had decided that I was going to take my life. And he said, but after seeing you guys minister and the song, you know, he said, we don't know what happened afterward, but we know that we prevented him from taking his life that
Amen.
Night through the ministry.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
That was like the first time that we started ministering full time was when we went around doing that.
Amen.
And so that was probably the first time.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Praise God.
Any standout moments in your walk you'd like to share or moves that impacted you?
You know, there's been a lot of different things over the years that, you know, mostly what I could say that's impacted me was that you can't really quit. You know, you get up, you get down. And I've seen, you know, as you get older, of course, you've seen it. We've seen what even ministers go through. And I've seen where some people has thrown in the towel and turned away from the Lord. And the end thereof is destruction. You know, you can see it. And the people that's gone through the ups and downs and you know, had terrible tragedies hit, but, you know, persevered through it, struggled, had hard times, but persevered through it. And I guess for me, that would be the, you know, the thing is that what stuck to me is that not to give up, you know.
Amen.
I know so many times, we relate things to work, and the same as in the Christian, our Christian walk or anything like that. You know, my son was telling me last night, he had a hard day yesterday at work. He said he just got married. You know, he's out on his own. And he said, I went all day. And he said, it was the last job I tried. And it was a beautiful job he got. But I said, see, that's, you can't give up because you never know, you know, the next one you pull into, it's the same as our Christian walk. You know, you can't give up because no matter what you go through and, you know, I've questioned the Lord and why we've all done that. You know, I can't understand this. And then when I think back to when I ministered in the third world country, we have 10 times, 100 times what, you know, the people over there have.
Mm-hmm. And
sometimes complaining and begging because maybe you do have one slow day something, an investment never turned out the way you thought, you know, it was going to turn out.
Praise God.
I just wonder if the Lord looks down and we're whining myself and complaining about this and about that. And then he's looking over here at this one that don't have shoes, you know. And I think I still whine and complain, but I do remember.
Sometimes. Yes.
Yes, that's yes. right. But that's not it. To give up, you know, not to
that's
throw
good.
In the towel,
that's
you
good.
Know.
Right.
I had another question to put to you. You kind of answered this one, but how did you get into the ministry? And when and how did you feel called into the ministry?
That was like a group ministry, what I told you earlier.
Amen.
But actually, just to be called into the ministry, because I am a licensed minister, you know, of course, through Cornerstone. That is a different story. I was, you know, serving the Lord like I thought I was supposed to when I moved up to Delaware. And I was playing the drums, you know, in church and going off and ministering through the music. But I probably wasn't doing like I was supposed to be doing and kind of knew it, you know.
Amen.
And I was out to work one day and the phone rang and it was Kim Buckland here in town, if anybody knows Kim Buckland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Victor's mom, who plays the music. Victor's probably been out there. But she called me up and she said, Billy, I don't really know you. She said, obviously, I know who you are. You know who I am. She said, I know your sister's a mom, your wife. She said, I don't know you personally. She said, but the Lord has given me something to share with you. Is that all right? And I knew Kim, you know, that the Lord had gave her things, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of nervous when she said that. I figured something was going to come down. And I was right. She said, the Lord laid it on my heart to tell you. And she said, again, I don't know what you're doing, what you're not doing. She said, so you just take this as it is. She said, the Lord told me to tell you that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in the ministry. And that if you don't start doing what you're supposed to be doing in the ministry, that he's going to burn down your barley fields. And when she said that, I was like, whoa, you know, I don't want my, I just picture barley fields with finances and all these.
Amen, brother.
I didn't have enough as it was anyways. I really didn't want them burned down.
Amen.
But so that scared me, you know, when she said that. And, you know, being around ministry and prophets and people giving, you know, words of prophecy and different things, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'll do it. Just tell me what it is, you know. So it wasn't very long after that. I don't want to lie and say the next service, but it seemed like it was the next service I went to, whether it was a Sunday or Wednesday night, I can't remember. But as I walked through the door of the church, Pastor Eddie Smith walked up to me and he said, the Lord has told me that you're supposed to lead our youth group. You know, he had been doing it. And, of course, the Lord was calling him out to go other places, and he really couldn't do it. So he says, I want you to pray about it. Before he could get out, I want you to pray about it. I remembered the barley field, and I said, I don't have to pray about it.
Praise God.
You just said that we vision.
Do, Yes, if you want me to do the youth group, or you think I should be doing the youth group, or he said the Lord had laid it on his heart.
Yeah.
So if the Lord laid it on Pastor A. Smith's heart, I knew that it was right after. I mean, obviously, what else could you be but hit with right. a hammer, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to pray about it. I'll do it.
Amen.
So I started doing it. And, you know, the thing was that I remember my biggest concern with doing it every night was a lot of services on Wednesday night, not everyone, but a lot of them, I didn't make. And not because I didn't want to. We would be out to work, and, you know, it would be getting late. And I would just send Dad home and say, go on, you know, get to church. I'll finish up. I'll get the check, whatever I got to do. You know, and I would get home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and, you know, church is halfway through.
Amen.
And so that was, one of the main things. I didn't want to do it. But you know that it's funny. We can trust the Lord for so many things. But for simple things like that, you know, not only was I able to make church, but it seemed like after that and making a stand for the Lord and saying, yes, I'll do it, whether it cost us at work or whatever the, you know, the thing. And I know everybody's made sacrifices where, but when I took a stand and said, yes, I'll do that, whatever it is, I'll do that. I'll come. I'll make sure I'm here on Wednesday. But it seemed like after that, not only did I make every service, but we was done with work quicker. Seem like earlier.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
So you can outgive God. He can get you home earlier. He can make your fine. You know, your work will still be the same at the end of the week. You know, so if you can, if the Lord has you to do something, he's never going to, you know, have you do something where you're not getting the better end of it in the long run.
Amen.
You know, so that's
Amen.
How I got into the ministry. And with doing that, I ended up getting ordained. And I preached to the youth for
Praise
a year.
God. Praise
and
God.
Then, of Wonderful. Course, you know, Captain took it over. And the neat thing about it was, through that, I always said I had the 1983 quarterback draft. And there will be some people out there that knows what I'm talking about with that. But it was, you know, Dan Marino and John Elway and Bob Black, and all these great quarterbacks that went on.
Amen.
Well, my group of youth that came through there, I said they was like, I had, and it was nothing to do with me, but it's just the Lord blessed that time that I had. Johnny Smith and Captain and mm-hmm. Eddie Mullins and George Pepper and Hazel, Ham Grant came through there. And I'm probably missing other ministers.
The dream team.
together, you know, that went on to become not just, you know, solid Christians, but pastors
Amen. Yeah.
and worship leaders and preachers, you know.
Amen.
What a privilege.
Yes, so it was a privilege, and the Lord was allowed me to do it, and now Captain, of course, is doing our youth and doing a great job.
Amen.
But that's
Amen.
How I, that was the long answer to your question, wasn't it? How
it was
I got
a wonderful answer.
And we're really good.
Well, here is the answer. You still have the barley field.
Yeah.
So yes. praise God.
Yes.
It says the fear of God is the wisdom of God.
That's yeah. good.
And when we hear a word like that there, we understand the faithfulness of God is not to burn the barley field, but to make it greater crops than it ever was.
Well, when you were That's saying right. that, Billy, about you had to get home early for work on Wednesday and that, and you were talking about how God made a way, what come to me was God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen?
Amen.
Our needs.
We can do a lot better job than we can, you
Yeah, because we have needs. Everyone has to pay rent. You know, so
exactly.
With that, how important do you think it is for, if it's a husband in the ministry, for the wife to support him, or a wife in the ministry for the husband to support you?
Very important, you know, and we see it both ways. You can't really do it without somebody supporting you, especially if they were falling away or, you know, because you know how it is. You have to go off sometimes and, you know, I go away to Orlando for the weekend and minister, whether my wife stays here and takes care of the stuff or if she goes with me, you know, somebody's supporting you and backing you. And just like the other way, I know when Betsy Hicks preached, she said that everything she does, Willie's behind her, you know, in the reverse. So very important. I would think it would be hard to minister, you know, if you're not only if they wasn't, you know, if they were pulling away and trying not to get you to do it, you probably wouldn't be able to do it. But if they didn't support you and was behind you, then it would be very difficult, I would think. you know.
I agree. Right. I agree.
Let me ask you this one now again. What is your vision for the church and for our people in the future?
Yes. My vision would be that there's so many people out there still that the church is, and I'm sure yours is like ours, you know, on a Wednesday night, it's laying empty, you know, and on Sunday mornings, it could be packed. That there's so many people out there that need to be saved, need to be in church.
Amen.
You know? And like we've been to other countries to minister and we've done all that and we still like to do that, have, you know, but there's a great need at home, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Especially as we see things going as they are, but I would love to see that our churches, all of our churches, you know, you have, you know, how many people out there and the amount of people that's actually, if you had the percentage of people in town and that the amount of people, even say like on a Sunday morning, it's a small amount, you know?
Yeah.
So my vision would be that the word would get out and that people would realize, you know, that whether they're chasing, you know, finances, which we're all doing that, but that's going to end up in, you know, you're not taking it with you, or if they're chasing a good time, you know, or a party like I was when I was a teenager and thought I was missing out at the end errand of destruction, you know, and it's all going to come to naught. And really the only thing that we do for the Lord is going to matter.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God.
What advice would you give somebody that wanted to serve God or get into ministry?
You know, we have, it's so much easier now. We have churches, you know, there's no excuse.
That's right.
Churches all over. And not only that, like if they wanted to become a Christian or they wanted to get saved or, even further that if they wanted to get into the ministry, like you said, now we have the Bible, you know, you used to have to come to church and you had to make sure you were there and sit down and go over your studies. Now you could be, in Canada and you could watch it on, you know, the internet.
Right.
And you could catch every service and you could go through the courses sitting at your house, you know.
That's right.
And if you miss one, you could go back and watch it. So if you wanted to get into ministry, you know, there's never a greater time. There's never a greater need, you know, to get into the ministry now.
Amen.
There's more tools available. There's more options for ministering. You know, we need a lot of help. We have a lot of ministers in our church, and we still could use more help, you know?
Absolutely, yes.
So, so the need is out there. Like they said, the fields are white of the harvest, but the laborers seems like they're fewer. You know, pray for laborers and pray for the harvest. But
that's right.
Yes, it's a great time, you know, for the tools that we have at our disposal for, you know, and we've seen it. You know, we know that it's happening. Was it 150 people came through the last Bible college?
It was amazing.
That was wonderful.
It was amazing from all over.
Right.
Church was completely packed, filled with the people that had, you know, a lot of people came in for it to actually be there for the graduation.
Yes.
Amen. And it was quite a thing, you know, so it's great to see.
Well, and I feel like there's open doors for people in all walks of life that they can, you know, start with ministry. It don't have to be behind the pulpit, but there's all kinds of things people can do as they're starting and growing.
All kinds of things people can do, just like you said, you know, with a food ministry, you know, just out to the people in the run of the day.
Right.
You know, if you had we don't have a food. Do you still have the food ministry there?
Yeah.
So we have the sandwiches Esther does and the hot dog wagon, and they're starting back up the Park and Preach.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, that's to the people out there. Anybody can go out there.
Yes.
You know, like you said, you wouldn't even have to be a minister to hand out a sandwich and to say, listen, do you know that God loves you?
Right.
You know, he cares for you.
That's
He's here for you. Would you like to make heaven your home? And that's simple, you know, and that's something that anybody could do.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Well, on a personal note, do you have anything that you'd like to add yourself?
Yes, this is personal. This isn't like scripture, although I have studied. And I've taken it from people that study better than me, which is Johnny Smith, is another one you're going to have on your podcast, I know, coming down the road. But me and him has like gone over it together. On a personal note, this isn't like out of the Bible. I don't have facts. But from studying, you know, we obviously we can see that this is the end times. You know, most of people would agree about that. And I almost see it like we have about 3 years left. And you say, well, how do you come up with that number? There's numbers out there that you can study. The Lord said you wouldn't know the day or the hour, you know? He didn't say you wouldn't know the year. He just said day and hour.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I really feel like the season and, you know, there's been prophecies, and I don't want to get into it too much. There was one it was actually at the end of 1800s about Trump being our last president. Well, how could that be possible? And again, these aren't facts. You know, if somebody sees me in 4 years and says, oh, I heard your podcast, you were wrong. I hope I am wrong, because it gives us more time to minister. Once that trumpet sounds, people, that's it. You know,
that's it.
So I hope that we have more time. I hope I am wrong, or that I'm not exactly correct on that we have. But, you know, I would rather study more for something and say, oh, I didn't need to study for that at all. Or think that the Lord's going to be here in 3 years, you know, and plan it that way, than to be those five foolish virgins that wasn't ready.
That's right.
You know.
So otherwise, you're saying you have you're feeling shortly there's an expectancy of him returning, is what you're saying in your gut. You feel like it's not a long time to the Lord returns.
I do, and it's also where we see with Israel and everything going on, when Israel's constantly news, that's like a main thing. But just when we study it out, like with the, you don't have to be a genius, because I'm not, but you know, we know it from when the time Israel became a country, the clock would really started ticking right then, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that. And I don't know. It's a number I've had. I've said it for about 3 or 4 or 5 years now. And I know Johnny's really good. My mom is good on end time studies, you know? And when you get together with people, I would just tell people that, you know, plan that you have 3 years or less. Hopefully we have more than that.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal thing. You know, I've told people about stocks. They've been wrong.
Yeah.
You
know, well, I'm writing this down in my little book right now. Well, what I take from it, Billy, is maybe I don't agree. We have 3 years. Maybe in my spirit, I feel a year or 20 or whatever. And you quoted it, no man knows the hour or the day when he's to come. But that's your personal, be ready, get ready.
Absolutely.
And if you're living in this day and age looking at the news and looking at stuff and you can't see where it's progressing towards the return of the Lord, then you obviously have not read the Bible.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's what and I that's, take from what you're saying. I know you're not giving, I just want to clear that.
No,
I know you're not giving us date of when the Lord's returning, but you feel like it could happen within the next 3 years. Is that like what you're saying? Yes.
If it happened next week, I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
You know, this is like when Ham Parker says, this is Ham Parker, verse 1, chapter 12. You know, it just could me.
Yeah.
Completely. You know,
right.
It's just from when you study it out. And when, you know, you do that, it could be 10 years from now.
Right.
You know, and I would say, oh, yeah, well, that didn't surprise me. I was wrong on that 3 years. You remember the man that had 88 reasons back in 1988? I mean, he must have sold a million books and, you know, made a fortune. And maybe that was the whole reason. But, yes, I'm not predicting no year or date or nothing. I just feel like that we have 3 years or less.
Right.
You know, if it went 5 years, there's, you know,
again, who knows but God, but that's your gut feeling, yeah.
Who knows, but I just know.
I believe it soon, too.
Be ready.
Yep.
Get ready.
Amen.
You know, because it could be tomorrow. The way that everything's going with Israel and the way that, times as we can see.
Amen.
And it's waxing worse and all these things.
Amen.
Could be 2 years, 6 years. I just feel like within 3 years, the Lord could return. I hope not. My kids don't want to hear that. When you tell them that, and they got married a month ago, they're looking at you like, you're ready to go. Everything's taken on you.
Debbie Downer.
Uh-huh. the kids don't want to hear that, you know. But right. guess what? Eventually, it's going to happen, and somebody's going to yes. be just gotten married or yep. you know, get married.
Absolutely,
they're going to be given in marriage and all that.
That's what the Bible says. Yep.
Absolutely.
So, well, Billy, if that's it, if your heart's clear, we sure enjoyed you coming on, and we want to thank you for being one of our supporters that listened to it, and we appreciate, and you really touched me with your testimony today.
Amen.
Praise God. We appreciate you. Love the podcast today, and appreciate you being here with us.
Amen.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And I loved at the beginning when you said you was a child, and you got baptized and come up speaking in the heavenly language. The Bible says to come as a child.
Yes, I think if more people like really, really, were, you know, that they would just, and Anna May said that, I've never thought about that, but she's right. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. So Amen. That's what I guess I asked. Gave it.
You have not because you ask not. Amen. So
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise we God. Really enjoyed you. Thank you again, Billy, so much.
Amen. Thank you.